Rogério, how do you approach these patients?
So, you know, I think the CLGB trial had a great impact on my practice. So up until this past ASCO, I discussed with patients and colleagues and the initial analysis of the CLGB trial, and I consider that level one evidence. And I discussed with several members of our community who called for questions and recommendations that in 1B patients, I felt very comfortable using carboplatin paclitaxel. Well, that has changed since the updated analysis. I still recommend that most 1B patients receive adjuvant chemo. However, whenever possible, I use a cisplatin-based regimen.
Paired with what?
Usually docetaxel. Not always, necessarily, but usually docetaxel. I've used gemcitabine once in a while, despite the absence of data. People who were very adamant about hair loss and things of that nature. And if I see a patient, as Mark said, who is clearly not a good candidate for cisplatin, then I will use carbo, but with a much lower level of confidence, I think, than I had up until ASCO. I do want to say that this 4-centimeter business is shocking to me, that the NCI and other regulatory agencies would take that subset analysis and include that in a subsequent prospective phase
trial.
I am shocked. I'm absolutely shocked.
It's ridiculous.
I want to get actually Harvey's take on this from the non-medical oncology world, but just one follow-up question. Why do you generally prefer docetaxel in terms of paclitaxel?
No. If I use it with carbo, cis-paclitaxel is not a regimen that I've used. I think most people here don't use cis-paclitaxel. So when I use cis, I use docetaxel. If I use carbo, I can use paclitaxel. There's no science behind it. It's just a level of comfort.
Harvey, what are your thoughts?
Well, for the patients who clearly qualify from the previous level one evidence, and I'm not including the CalGB trial's level one evidence, then at our institution, which is that smallish institution that's somewhere on the east side in New York, is cis docetaxel. And in the patient who can't tolerate cis, to look at carbo. But as a surgeon, if we move back or earlier, I mean, I examine the pathology report much more carefully than I used to. I mean, there are certain things that I look for and I don't have answers for yet. Number one, lymphovascular invasion is really a buzzword for me at this point. So if I have a tumor of any size that has lymphovascular invasion and I'll be thinking about what the SUV was on the PET scan at the same time to see what the deal was, then at conference, I'm saying this patient is a 1A or 1B, but has this. What about that Korean data? What about that we're worried about lymphovascular invasion? Then we'll get into the discussion, should this patient get adjuvant therapy in that situation? At least I will get the patient to my medical oncologist to discuss this. The things I don't understand, though, is the more weird stuff like visceral pleural invasion and where that comes in and whether that's so important or as much as lymphovascular invasion.
It's interesting because, you know, it wasn't presented there, but my understanding is actually that where you had this like 2-centimeter tumor touching the pleura, which would have been included under this definition of this, that those lines were pretty superimposable. And I agree. I think that all the patients should have been included within the ECOG study.